Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and today's conversation is with Bajinder Pal, CIO at the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. Also joining us from IBM is Roxanne Ulrich. Bajinder, we talk a lot about technology on this show, so could you give us a brief outline of OCC's information technology vision and strategy? Specifically, how does your roadmap to infrastructure optimization maturity fit into your overall IT approach and align with both OCC's and Treasury's business objectives?
Absolutely, Al. In fact, a great question. This is actually a very exciting time for information technology at the OCC. Clearly, it's a very challenging time from a business perspective. The national economy and the financial disruptions that's taking place across the markets, however unfortunate that might be, it is a great time for information technology to really add value to the mission of the OCC. So last year, we began with an information technology modernization roadmap. And really, in a broader context, there are five major components to that information technology modernization program. One is what I call infrastructure optimization. What that means is that as our business is emerging through a variety of disruptions, we constantly have emerging needs by the business. So we need infrastructure that is flexible, that is agile, that is able to meet the demands and the needs of the business at any given time. That means that having the ability to provision performance, capacity, or system applications on demand without lengthy period of time is extremely important to us. So we began the modernization of our infrastructure. So that included, for example, virtualization. That included cloud computing so that information technology would be available on time, on demand, as needed by the business. Number two, what I call the mobile computing. Two-thirds of the OCC workforce is highly mobile. I mean, imagine these examiners throughout the country traveling in teams, conducting financial examination and risk examination of the national banks and the banking systems throughout the country. We have large teams of examiners physically residing in the Bank of America, the J.P. Morgan Chases, and so forth. So they depend on robust, reliable information technology solutions to be able to conduct the business. And as you can imagine, especially in the current climate, with all the financial disruptions, having timely information, secure information is extremely important. So the concept of secure access to OCC information anytime, anywhere, using any platform is at the heart of our modernization program for mobile computing. And number three is what I call the enterprise system modernization. We have to be able to look across from a business standpoint and understand some of the business processes and identify efficiencies or opportunities for where IT can add value and retire some of the legacy applications. By that, we can then provide common set of services to all of OCC users, retire our legacy system, reduce the total cost of ownership, and improve how our workforce is using information through technology. So that's the third component. Number four is what I call business intelligence, data analytics. At the end of the day, the OCC manages, uses, consumes lots and lots of data, whether it's mortgage metrics or shared national credit or credit card information, to assess the risks of a particular bank or banking system. So how we process that information, how we process the data, this is the cool part. I mean, information technology can really add value through business intelligence and data analytics, and we can be very proactive from an IT perspective and give the necessary tools and technologies for our examiners to have sort of a forecasting, predictive information so that in the future we can be much better positioned to assess some of the risks, impending risks in the banking system. So that's number four. And number five is what I call information sharing and collaboration. At the end of the day, our mobile workforce in the field and also our workforce and headquarters, we share information. We share document. We also share document and information with our other regulatory agencies like the Federal Reserve Bank, FDIC, the main treasury, and also the TARP. So it is about the collaboration, information sharing. And my gosh, I mean, this is information technology can add so much value to that. So that's sort of the fifth leg of our modernization program. But at the end of the day, all of this is really geared to improving also, reducing the cost, improving services, bringing the right innovation through these technologies, and safeguarding our sensitive information. So this is, in a nutshell, is really what the OCC IT modernization strategy is all about.
So, Bajinder, I want to go back to the first element that you described around your strategy, and that's around infrastructure. And you mentioned virtualization. First of all, what is virtualization? And tell me a little bit about how it makes OCC more flexible and adaptive. And perhaps you can describe some of the benefits, but more importantly, perhaps what are some of the challenges that you see in implementing this strategy?
Virtualization is really a fancy name, in my opinion, for server consolidation. Clearly, there are many, many, many benefits to server consolidation. One is obvious. You reduce the physical footprint at the data center. Therefore, you have less number of resources, physical resources to manage. There's a power consumption. Going green is become a huge issue for the industry. So by reducing the physical count of the number of servers, the data center has a huge impact on the power consumption. But more importantly, we need to be able to provision what I call capacity and performance on demand. What that means is that when it comes to application hosting and the capacity that is needed on the server side, we cannot contain them in sort of silos. They ought to be available at the enterprise level. Same thing at the storage area network level. We need to be able to tap that storage capacity on demand as needed by the business. The overall effect of virtualization is that by having that performance and capacity available on demand, we can provide quicker and agile solutions to the business. And I'll give you one example of where actually we did that. So recently, for example, working with our large bank supervision business unit, they had a need where they wanted to be able to automate how they launched, allocated, and deployed their examination resources throughout the country. Now, this is large bank supervision. Obviously, in today's environment, they have a huge set of challenges in examining banks like the J.P. Morgan Chase or the Bank of America and all that. And here we were able to provision technology using a virtualized environment where we deployed a fully automated system within 6 months on time that meets the performance requirements of the users. And we were able to launch a capability where now the large bank supervision business unit is able to, in an automated fashion, launch and deploy their resources throughout the country. And that was using a virtualized environment. So it has many benefits. The fact that that capacity was available, we could quickly allocate that to business needs. The fact that we were able to reduce the physical footprint in the data center and be efficient in terms of power consumption and truly, you know, have a framework moving toward a more green data center. So all of these components are really part of our virtualization scheme.
So staying on this theme, Bijinder, you mentioned cloud computing. Could you talk a little bit more about to what extent cloud computing is a natural extension of virtualization? And if I may, if you could tell us about the differences between sub-enterprise and enterprise level.
Cloud computing is just a natural extension to virtualization. It's somewhat of a new concept now in the IT industry, but at the OCC, we began implementing cloud computing many months back. First of all, let me make a distinction between the sub-enterprise level cloud computing and the enterprise level cloud computing. I consider virtualization within the OCC as a sub-enterprise level cloud computing. By that, what I mean is that cloud computing, the concept or the idea behind cloud computing is that one can provision system resources at the enterprise level on demand. Well, by virtualizing, we're able to provision resources across the OCC enterprise. And the example I gave earlier on a business application for launching and deploying examination resources for examining large bank, that system is known as STARS, by the way. We deployed that using the sub-enterprise level cloud computing within 6 months, on time, you know, within budget, within performance level metrics. So that's the sub-enterprise. At the enterprise level, really looking at the department-wide, you know, are there set of technologies that can be shared across the department or the other agencies? Or, by the way, are there external cloud computing environment that is available that can be leveraged? So, for example, in our security posture, we actually deploy for our network scanning IP addresses, we use an external cloud as a leverage infrastructure services, and that allows the OCC not to have to manage the infrastructure itself, but rather the data that is specific to OCC. So that's an example of really the enterprise-level cloud computing that we at the OCC began implementing last year. So having those two contexts really allows us to manage the scalability, if you will, of cloud computing.
There's obviously a lot of discussion, Bijinder, around green computing, which you briefly mentioned. Is OCC moving in this direction, and how does your IT infrastructure modernization strategy facilitate this effort? Does it include a move to a thin client environment?
Green computing computing is really a one key or central part of our modernization strategy. We talked about the virtualization. Clearly, I mean, that is central to going green. The fact that we can consolidate, you know, anywhere from 10 to 1 or 15 to 1 consolidation of servers, whether it's on the application side or the database side, we are seeing significant reductions in the footprint. And that's having a very positive impact on the power consumption. And clearly, I mentioned earlier that we are a highly mobile workforce. That means that we need to be able to provide secure access to OCC information anytime, any place, any platform. That implies thin client. All of these things, the thin client, mobile computing, virtualization, is sort of leading to the sort of the green computing, if you will. And that's something we pay very close attention to. In fact, beyond just the application and database server consolidation, we are also virtualizing our storage area network as well. So our total environment is now virtualized on the back end and on the front end. We have a very sound methodology for managing the migration to green computing, and it's working quite well for us.
As we talk about how technology has enhanced our ability to share information, it's also made organizations more vulnerable to unlawful and destructive breaches, the whole issue around security. Without giving away too many trade secrets, can you tell us a little bit about your department's efforts to improve IT security and controls, and what remains to be done to remedy this overall challenge?
Clearly, Al, I mean, we manage, we share, we use sensitive information across the agency, and we share that with other agencies, regulators as well. Clearly, security is at the central part of our IT modernization. So this is what we do. We don't look at security strictly as a compliance component. We build our security in the life cycle of our information technology development. So, for example, in our SDLC approach, System Development Lifecycle approach, security is weaved throughout all the phases in the SDLC, from requirements development, from business proposition to requirements development to testing to development and into production deployment. Our infrastructure implementation, same thing. In all aspects of the lifecycle implementation, security is central to that. In fact, at the OCC, we have a different connotation or context for security. We call it risk information management. It's really looking at the business risk. It's looking at the IT risk, identifying that early as possible, and taking proactive measures to make sure that the security issues are addressed upfront. Another example for security is that all our assets are fully encrypted. So, for example, our laptops, our desktops, our wireless devices, our GSS infrastructure, it's fully encrypted and enabled. So we have a risk profile that is really weaved throughout the lifecycle implementation. And so far, so good. But security is something that obviously keeps me up late at night. So it's something that we can never be complacent about. We always have to be vigilant. So we're doing that.
Now, one of the focal areas, and there's been quite a bit written about this coming from the MIT Sloan School of Business, is around this issue of IT governance, specifically it being key to an organization's ability to respond quickly and effectively to changing needs. And you talked a little bit about that earlier in the first segment around some of the economic issues facing our country. Can you tell us a little bit about IT governance at OCC? Specifically, what are you doing to foster this enterprise view of technology as opposed to the sort of more traditional stovepipe view of IT?
I think governance is a part of the overall picture. I think it's about balance. Clearly, I think leadership is a critical part of managing change, and having the governance to facilitate the change, if you will, is important. The governance at the IT consists of a number of things. Clearly, in terms of release management, there's a discipline that we applied. In terms of IT investment management, there's an enterprise architecture that guides our IT investments. There's a governance there. Clearly, in terms of how we manage our infrastructure. So at broad perspective, throughout the system development lifecycle, from managing IT investments to managing change, there are a set of disciplined approaches where the different components of IT, whether security or IT operations or application development, they have to be in constant engagement in terms of the checks and balances in managing change. But I think ultimately it's the leadership, the executive level, It's partnership with the businesses. It's partnership with the customers that can explain the impact of the change. And having the ongoing proactive set of communications is a key complement to the right IT governance, if you will. That communication, that leadership helps to facilitate sort of an enterprise-wide view of information technology rather than the siloed approach. So, for example, at the OCC, you know, we have a mechanism, what I call sort of the informal governance mechanism, where from top down, there's a level of partnership with the business. I sit down with my counterparts, the head of the large bank, head of the mid-sized community bank, the CFO, and we jointly review the priorities for the business. And then we talk about some of the changes that we need to implement information technology. Within the OCC, we also have a technology subcommittee, which is chaired by me, and it consists of a number of the executives, includes the head of the large bank, head of the mid-sized community banks, the head of the economics department, the chief of staff. And that's a strategic subcommittee where we jointly develop sort of the enterprise business priorities and then discuss the implementation of information technology at that enterprise level. So there are many, many governing bodies, but you know, I want to make sure that your listeners understand the distinction that aside from a traditional IT governance structure, it's about leadership, it's about communication, it's about establishing partnership with the business, and also, by the way, talking in a non-techie language. Mm-hmm. As a CIO, we need to be able to understand the business of the agency. I need to be able to understand the business of supervising a bank, examining a bank. When a CIO can successfully do that, well, that goes a long ways in establishing enterprise-wide IT strategies and so forth. And that's how we've done it at OCC, and it's working quite well.
How have OCC's IT functions evolved to respond to the recent financial crisis? We will ask Bajinder Paul, CIO at the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.